SIU President Randy Dunn is joining us in the studio. You know, I'm halfway surprised that you don't have you're injured. I mean, I'm thinking with basketball, everybody's got an injury.
It has been a time, hasn't it?
I thought maybe you're going to limp in or something with your hand in
a cast or something. No, they're going to put me on the court after a bit.
Yeah. So I've been listening to hints and it's like, well, what's going on here? And then the next military appreciation night was a big night.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's going, well, they can score some points. So,
yeah, that was quite, I was not there. I actually had to be in Chicago for meetings, so missed the game, but I was coming back on Amtrak, which is another story, by the way, and kind of following scores and looked like it was well received and had the red, white, and blue uniforms and all of that. So that was pretty neat.
Tom Getz had called me and said, hey, don't forget, talk about this halftime. 13 wounded warriors there at half court. So, appreciate Tom's call.
It's a big deal.
Change is hard. Nobody knows this better than you. Nobody knows this even better than you than Carlo Montemagno.
Is that our theme today? Change is hard?
Well, I think change is hard. It doesn't matter who it is.
Well, of course it is.
But, you know, you've been talking about we've got to make changes. We have to be more fleet in our feet. We have to. And, you know, the financial pressure that involves there, the competition among other universities.
Sure.
I mean, and last week was a turbulent Board of Trustees meeting.
It was. And as I said to somebody after the meeting, you know, democracy can get messy sometimes because this is how it works. You have, I think in our case, a board that has some different views about things in front of it. Obviously, the campus is in the middle of a process that's actually going to go on for some number of months to decide, you know, how they move forward as a community, and as we get into the spring semester, we'll see where this all goes. I think, you know, as people who have followed this have started to learn, this is not going to be one grand unified omnibus vote that gets taken by a faculty or our Board of Trustees or our state agency, the Board of Higher Education. What Chancellor Montemagno has put together as his larger academic reorganization plan, as it goes through a mandatory review process where the various faculties involved get to kind of speak to that and indicate where they think the strengths are, the things they'd like to see changed, this will actually come forward as a set of proposals, each in their own time, that ultimately will get acted upon by the faculty. That's part of the process, both in terms of the collective bargaining contracts as well as the constituency organizations that are empowered and have been for years to make decisions on matters of curriculum and things of that nature. Each of these individual proposals that are contained in this larger framework, and the chancellor has moved each of these proposals out, think almost like horses coming out of the chute at the start of a race, then you'll see these proposals work at various speeds moving forward, ultimately to come to the board, most of them for review and a vote. So for those who are thinking, well, at some date certain, there's going to be some big yes, no vote, it's not really going to work that way. It's a matter of these,
It's like a sieve.
Yeah, it really is. It's a matter of these eight or nine proposals. For instance, one of the proposals is out there for a school of education. So I don't want to get people in the weeds. It'll bore them to death. But right now we have something that is the College of Education and Human Services. It's somewhat a larger academic unit that doesn't cover just teacher education, but a number of other areas as well, rehabilitation, social work, counseling, et cetera. Well, one of the things in the chancellor's proposal is to create a freestanding or somewhat standalone school of education. Like we have School of Law, School of Medicine, this would be a school of education just for those programs around teacher education, where we're licensing future educators, teachers, principals, superintendents. That's where my academic tenure home is. I was a professor in those programs back when I taught at SIU Carbondale. I think you're going to see that, I predict, I could be wrong. Something like that you might see move forward with, you know, with some dispatch, because I think there's support for that. People like that idea. It's been talked about for a number of years anyway. In other areas, it's going to take longer. It's maybe something that entails a brand new proposal, a unique combination of various disciplines, and they're just going to have some more time to talk about it and decide how they move forward. So it's really going to be a series of of events that you see playing out here over the spring, and I would predict into early summer.
And it's interesting because when you talk about teaching, when you read the letter that was sent to the chancellor of Montemagno from GA United, it's almost universally involving how teaching will be conducted at SIU. Whether, you know, a couple of the headings here, your solution to replace teaching assistants with non-tenure track faculty is illogical. Fourth, you're also taking jobs away from teaching assistants. Third, graduate instructors will continue the decline of graduate enrollment. I mean, when you look at the components in this letter, it's almost universally about who's teaching class at SIU.
Well, there's
with the exception of the comments on shared governance.
There is a particular issue that's arisen with the graduate assistants, and we have over 1,500 graduate assistants at SIU Carbondale. Not all teaching, teaching.
All right.
Some work in research.
Yeah, because I think it's 1,200 teaching.
Yeah,
that
sounds about right. I'd have to look, but not all are instructing undergraduate classes. There's a variety of opportunities that attach to graduate assistants who are getting some sort of support. But there are issues that have arisen out there in terms of, and this is going to be arcane, and you know, 95% of the audience probably doesn't worry too much about it, but about who will be instructors of record for various courses, the responsibility of the GAs vis-a-vis the supervising faculty member in the department. So that's a whole other issue that they've got to sort out. It is not surprising, I suppose, that when you see, particularly at a university, when you see really a grand redesign that goes forward, and that's what the chancellor has done here, and not just in terms of the academic reorganization, but also changes in other fronts. One of the things the chancellor wants to do is take on the core curriculum and redefine what general studies is at the university. We've got this thing going with the graduate assistants. This is going to have to be sorted out at some point.
Right.
What I've said is we really need to make sure we stay focused on the core issues here and not get ourselves out taking on battles on too many fronts and having too many flanks exposed. Now, I'm sorry to use the military analogy, but...
Don't worry. I think of Sun Tzu almost everything I do.
That's exactly right. I do think we have to ensure at the campus level that we're keeping strong focus on the critical issues here. That is, how do we reinvent or re-engineer to have a system, a structure that's workable for the number of students we have, for the programs that those students need, and to have us make sure that we remain financially viable and sustainable.
Yeah.
That issue with the GAs is one that's out there. It's important. I'm not saying it's not, but...
You know, I didn't go to college, right?
Yeah.
And you know what this letter leaves me with the impression? Professors don't teach at SIU.
Well, one of the things...
You read this,
you know, one of the I'll tell you, one of
the
things...
people who teach, they pretty much say it.
One of the things that has bothered me about all of this, and it's not to take one side or the other, because I'm trying to stay up above a lot of these discussions, because ultimately these are going to come to the Board of Trustees for a final determination, or at least an intermediate determination, before they might have to go to the Board of Higher Education, our state agency. So I'm trying to stay up and above some of these discussions, but I will say this. As we've seen the sides get drawn, which I understand takes place. People are in this very robust discussion period. It's in a review period. There is a
role, very passionate about it, too.
And very passionate. And there is a clear role and process that our faculty particularly get to play here. It's not where I'm the owner of the business and come in and say, okay, we were doing this, and now we're going to switch the manufacturing line, and you're doing that, and here's your new job. It doesn't work that way. So we're in this review process, and everyone's going to get a chance to kind of weigh in and shape these proposals. But what I don't like to see happening is the press that's out there statewide right now that causes people to say, akin to what you've just talked about, Tom, what's going on at SIU again? What's happening down there? Can they not get their act together and figure out a way to move forward and be successful? You know, we need to keep these things, to the extent we can, civil, within the family, working through the processes that are out there, because I'm getting tired of seeing editorials, whether it's in the Chicago papers or letters that get picked up on statewide press. And I'm talking one side or the other now. I'm not saying, you know, if you're for this or against that. I see what's out there statewide because I follow statewide press closely. And what you get from kind of the general person or the average Joe who may be sitting where I grew up in northwestern Illinois reading a paper saying, what in the devil's going on at SIU Carbondale again? We don't need more of that. We need to work through this process.
I've got to agree with you
there. We need to get these decisions made.
Self-destructive, isn't it, Randy?
Yes, we need to get these decisions made. And then with what ultimately moves forward and successful, get that implemented and keep rolling on. We got a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of good more to do. So we'll see where we go.
You know, it's interesting because once upon a time, Glenn Pichard says, we do not do a good job of telling our story.
Well, and I agree with Glenn on that. But we also don't want to be the ones shooting our own selves in the foot.
Yes.
Right?
So it's the nature and how we tell the story, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
You know, because it's interesting because everybody knows you got to change. The lack of willingness to do so is self-defeating,
yes,
in many ways.
You know, but
part
of it,
part of its presentation, isn't it?
It absolutely, hugely, I mean, part of its presentation, I think, as the chancellor learned last week, part of its presentation.
Yes, because I know I can't talk to you about anything, and you've never said, I don't want to talk about something. I want to tell that. I want to tell people
I have never
right
preempted
now.
You, have
Not
I?
One time, as Randy says, anytime we've been on the phone, he says, Randy, I'll talk to you anything about what you want to talk about, Tom. Anything. It don't matter. Okay. Mike Dreith, John A. Logan College. Calls it the worst decision he ever made coming there. All right? The trustees out there went,
I know.
And I told Mike, I said, oh, man, dude, you just jumped off a cliff. You just haven't hit the bottom yet. And and then you've got Montemagno. This is like an old Yugo. There are direct parallels to that.
Of course.
The responses from the board were, I thought, parallels as well.
Well, and what emerged from that discussion or presentation or use of the analogy was the fact that it did probably smoke out the fact that our board, and this happens, it's not something we, you know, hide under a bushel and refuse
what,
to talk about.
What, that we're protective and defensive of our university? Because I am.
Yes, absolutely the case. And the board is probably to some degree bifurcated now a little bit on this. I'll tell you what, everybody who I talk to, whether they're employees of the university, board members, the average person on the street, if I, you know, try to go uptown and have dinner with my wife, somebody stops and talks to a person. Everyone knows there has to be a reset for SIU Carbondale. Everybody. The debate. So I take that.
We might argue over everybody someday.
Well, let's say it's what in organizational studies we used to call Pareto's optimality.
Well, I think
you can always find 10% who tell you,
right,
no, the moon's made of green cheese. What
Earth's flat.
If you get to 85 to 90%, you're there, Tom.
Right. And Montemagno said as much, that there are a group that say no change and that they are loud and vocal and it changes your perception.
I agree with that. But understand, too, I would moderate that a little bit because I don't want to discount the real concerns that people on this campus have. They are contemplating right now a restructuring of the campus in a way that really very few, if any, other campuses in the country have ever done. They're doing it on the basis of trying to figure out the data and background that supports that kind of radical change. And they're asking questions, and they have a right to do it. The process demands it, and we're going to go through that.
Good.
Let everybody be part of that, but let's be civil. Let's be talking to one another, and let's let this thing play out.
It was weird because I think there was another thing that came into play that you had no control over. At the very same time this is being talked about, in D.C., they're talking about not letting have grad said waivers for the tuition.
Absolutely correct.
I think the grad assistant at that point, if you look, put yourself in their shoes at that time, you're going, man, we're under siege
there
here.
There was tension.
So what do? You kick back. And one of those things came out of D.C., and then, of course, there was a protest there on the campus of SIU.
You make a very good point on that, Tom. There were other things impinging on those students.
And they felt persecuted.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That comes into play, too.
All right, so here's another item for you this morning. Forever SIU. SIU forever.
Yes.
Good donations, man.
Yeah, and I do think particularly with some of those million-dollar gets that have come in.
Yeah.
I do think that speaks to the loyalty, the fealty, I'm even going to say the love that so many alums have for SIU Carbondale. And I've said this, I've worked at different places, I've gone to different places to school. This connection between alums and SIU Carbondale is something that is not the same everywhere around the country. That's not to say there aren't other good relationships. And you go to U of I, Urbana-Champaign, you see it there,
and
too.
And some big donations going their way, and, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I follow that pretty carefully.
Well, but different magnitude. Yeah, different magnitude. So I do think that speaks to the fact that one of the great strengths of SIU is this connection. And it goes back to the folks who were here in the heyday of SIU. That's not to say somebody who graduated 5 years ago isn't proud of their alma mater and won't give money. But there is a mojo that exists. If you go back to alumni 15, 20, 25 years ago in the heyday.
72, 71. I know this. I know these people, too.
Yes.
And it's interesting. Because it was Buckminster Fuller, and boy, look at who's
playing
basketball.
It was the excitement, the vibrancy,
the
campus life, the creativity that was going on there.
And those people I find interesting because they may not have gone to college if they hadn't gone to SIU.
That's right.
And that, because SIU was opening doors and doing a lot of things for a lot of people of different color that nobody gives SIU credit for anymore. And those people knew that they would have never gotten their life that they have had it not been for SIU, and SIU may have been the only door that was open to them at that point.
And now,
I think
that
level of loyalty comes rarely and is quite frankly profound.
And now those people are at a point in their careers, because you've just tabbed the age, the timing of that. And those people are coming to a point in their careers where they're making decisions about what they want to do with the resources, the treasure they've earned over the course of, you know, many of them successful careers. And they're remembering SIU. That loyalty has carried through their lives. And we've got to figure out a way to create a campus environment, an experience of student life, a connection to that school again. I mean, to me, this is the big test for the future of SIU Carbondale, what we're talking about right here. Organization is organization. It comes down to the people who are the university, and we've got to figure out a way to.
The leaves change every year, but the roots stay the same.
And I've been hit a little bit for saying you can't go back and reinvent the SIU of 30 or 40 years ago. I get that. It becomes different.
But I'd argue with
the connection, the engagement, the campus life, the excitement that takes place, dare I say, some of the fun that used to be on that campus that we all tried to wipe out.
Enthusiasm.
I'm not for torching cars or tearing down
light
poles. I don't like that.
Right.
But we quit being fun somewhere along the way, and there's a balance and a mix that we've got to get back to. If some of the reorg and the new programs help us to do that, that's great. But a university is a human capital enterprise, it's people, and whatever this all turns out to be on the reorg side, whatever it is has to lead us back to that same level of vibrancy and mojo that SIU used to have, and I dare say now doesn't. And I say it loving the place and saying I've come back here to finish my career. We got to figure it out.
A lot of moving parts.
There
really are. It's weird because that enthusiasm, right? You have to realize I'm like 11, 12 years old. But it reaches all the way to Harrisburg.
Yes.
I mean, me and a guy named Ogilvy, what are we doing? We're making geodesic domes out of toothpicks because F. Buckminster Fuller
exactly.
is right over here.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right?
That's
I mean,
right.
It's weird that how things like that happen. You don't see it until later.
And it's in fields where, so you know about it because that was your interest. But if you go back, which I have, and looked at that kind of work that was going on in other areas. So you were thinking, wow, architecture and maybe kind of an engineering design thing, whatever that was turning you on to make those domes. You had the same thing happening in the arts.
Aviation.
You, You had the same thing happening in aviation. You had the same thing happening in education and clinical services
teachers,
and rehabilitation.
Those people coming out of there were my teachers in grade school and
high
school and junior
high. And we've still got some of the remnants of that, right? So I'm not getting off on the tangent here.
I'm worried we're going to run out of time because this is what I love talking about.
Well, we've still got the remnants of that. So, for instance, I talked about rehab a second ago. We still have within rehabilitation a couple of the top programs in the nation, top five programs, top 10 programs in the country. The pieces are there to start bringing some of this back, and it is going to be the grand test of SIU, whether over the coming years we can get that trajectory changed to recreate that school, or whether we become one of the other just directionals like every other state has directional schools.
And not that I'm inferring that you're a comedian. I'm not. But if you're a comedian and you walk up on stage, you got to know who the audience is.
Sure.
It isn't that really the position you're in now.
Yes.
You got to know who the audience is to get that enthusiasm, 71, 72, 76, whatever the years we're talking about here right now. We knew the audience. The audience is different now. We're going to have to do something different and defining that. Hey, we're out of time, but I don't want to cut this off because I think this is important. Give me about 30, 40 seconds. We're out of time, Randy. What do you want to see happen 2018?
I would like to get a decision made on how we're going to reorganize that campus, because everyone knows it is. I want to see us start to bring back some of the – I'm talking Carbondale now. We're not getting to Edwardsville School of Medicine. I want to see some of the campus life pieces, and that's being worked on. They're looking at some concert activities, looking at things that they can bring back. And we got to figure out how we recruit better. We've got a lot of recruiters out there on the road. We've got to get more savvy. We've got to get them in the better places, et cetera, et cetera. All the pieces are there. We just got to keep refining and working it. There isn't a silver bullet, Tom. We just keep working on these elemental functions, get them better, get them figured out. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, President Dunn. And I do appreciate the fact, and I made a deal out of this early in the hour, and I want to do this again, because when it comes to guests, not that it happens very often, because even if people tell me I don't want to talk about that, I go ahead and do it anyway. It's my job. But Randy has never been one of those people. And when he comes in, he knows. He saw what this letter was laying on my control board. He saw what I had in my hand, and he never once flinched, and he looked right me in the eye while he answered the question. He's never once said, I don't want to talk about something.
And I don't even do it to WSIU either, and I'm the boss of them. Whatever you want to ask. Thanks, Tom.
Merry Christmas, Chief.